Well, what will the government's climate action bill mean for all of us as individuals and our lives? The government has pledged to cut carbon emissions by 51% by 2030 and be carbon neutral by 2050. That means achieving net zero CO2 emissions. But the bill doesn't set out what any sector should do to achieve these targets. The first of 5 yearly carbon budgets will be introduced this year. Let's talk now to Dr. Paul Dean, Research Fellow at the Marai Centre for Marine and Renewable Energy and the Environmental Research Institute at University College Cork. Dr. Dean, thanks for being with us. Just first of all, what is a carbon budget?
Yeah, good morning. A carbon budget is essentially the amount of carbon you can emit into the atmosphere over a certain amount of period. It's kind of similar in many ways to a household budget, is how much you can spend. But of course, the challenge with a carbon budget is that the more you emit into the atmosphere, the more it's contributing to global warming. So what the government have done is decided to look at the amount of carbon that we're emitting over defined time periods, 5 years, 5 year periods, and aims to reduce these budgets as much as possible to align with a long-term trajectory of hitting zero by the year 2050.
Okay, so ahead of 2050, there's 2030, and they want to reduce emissions by 51% by that deadline. What sorts of things will we have to do in our lives to make that happen?
Yeah, and it's very important, actually. You know, we talk about 51% of the target, and it probably means very little to our listeners, but the context for that is remarkable. No modern economy has ever reduced our emissions by 51% or 50% over a 10-year period. And even if we look, step back and look at an international context, in Europe, for example, greenhouse gas emissions in Europe peaked around 1980, and since then they've probably reduced by about 25%. If we look at our neighbours in the UK have reduced emissions by about 40%, but that was over a 30-year period. So what we're trying to do in Ireland now is really remarkable. We're trying to do what many countries have done in 30 years. We're trying to do it now in 10 years, and it will mean radical changes for all of us in our homes, in our communities, and in our businesses. And the three focus areas, really what Ireland needs to give a lot of attention to, are the areas where most of our emissions come from. And actually, most of our emissions come from our farming, from our homes, and from our transport systems.
Right, so what will we have to do, for example, in our homes? Are we talking retrofitting all our homes, installing heat pumps? What kinds of things will we have to do?
Yeah, so most homes in Ireland, about 80% of homes in Ireland, will have to be retrofitted between now and 2030. That is a huge endeavour, because not only are we going to have to find the money to put cash on the table so families can afford that, but we're also going to have to find the workforce, the skilled plumbers, electricians and carpenters and labourers who can actually contribute to that. And the big challenge there is not only the technical implementation, but there's also the financial and the inconvenience element. And we all want action on climate change, but very few of us want inconvenience in our lives. And when you're looking at things like deep retrofits. And it's important to distinguish here that we're not just talking about putting a little bit of extra insulation on your attic. We're really talking about looking at the fabric of your homes, looking at your windows, your doors and your walls, and insulating those to a high level of degree. And what the government will have to look at is the skills shortage, but they'll also have to make sure that there's enough money on the table for families who can't afford that can actually access that finance and make sure that the finance is available at lower cost. So number one thing is in our homes, is making our homes cosier, making them leak less energy. And that's good for the environment, but it's also good for our pocket.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how people will react to hearing this sort of news, but again, they will presumably think, first of all, about money. And will money be available, do you expect, to everyone to do this, or will some people have to fund it themselves?
It will have to be available, and the bill is actually quite strong on recognising what we call a just transition and looking at the vulnerable people and those who can't afford in our society, making sure that they are minded. And that's a really important element of the whole strategy in heading towards a decarbonised economy. So money will have to be available. Now, what the government will have to decide is, where is that money going to come from? Will it come from the Exchequer? Europe are putting a lot of cash on the table at the moment in terms of the green recovery. So getting access to much of that green finance is possible is something that we will have to do. But again, what the bill does, and kind of different to what the climate legislation has done in the past, is that it puts an onus and a responsibility on each governmental department to achieve these emissions. So that puts climate policy kind of front and centre at the heart of policy making. Whereas traditionally in the past, climate policy was often a secondary or a kind of an afterthought. Here, each department and also local authorities, and this is important for our housing stock, local authorities are also going to have to be involved here. So the bill puts climate thinking, it normalizes it, it puts it into the policy making decisions. And that's, I think that's a really good thing and a healthy thing from that perspective.
Okay, well, it's just a taster of what's to come. We'll delve into it more as the months go on. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Paul Dean from the Mar Eye Centre at UCC. It's 8:51.